6:38. Richmond's Morning News here at 1140 WRVA. State budget. All right, we've got a couple of proposals out there. Of course, we have the governor's, Governor Bob McDonnell's. Now we have a House version. We have a Senate version. The one thing they all have in common is none of them like outgoing or long-gone governor at this point, Governor Tim Kaine's ideas. Delegate Chris Peace, the Republican from McCanksville, joins us. Good morning, Delegate.
Good morning, Jimmy.
I'm looking at a review of both of these bills, and they both claim that although the House bill cuts $145 million from the $418 million in higher fees and taxes through 2012 by the former governor, Tim Kaine, and the Senate bill calls for $540 million in new revenues through 2012, that tells me that in both bills, there are either higher fees or new revenue sources or both.
Well, Jimmy, we had an extensive briefing last night after the House Appropriations Committee released the budget proposal. And I can tell you that the House budget seeks to cut and make structural reforms in the budget that restores the car tax relief, which equates to about $1.9 billion. We do eliminate all $145 million in fees that were increases proposed by Governor Kaine. So I think it goes a significant step further than what that may look like on its face.
Okay. So there may be a few fee increases in the House bill, but nothing like what we're seeing in the Senate bill.
Well, actually, all of $145 million in fee increases proposed by Governor Kaine in the introduced budget are now removed in the House budget.
All right, so there are no tax or fee increases proposed at all in the House budget, correct?
The House budget, that's
okay.
Correct.
How about the Senate bill?
Well,
got a chance to see that yet?
No, you know, that's coming over to the House. We will all get a chance to look at that. But the process is one, you know, they talk about sausage making. You know, the House sends its budget to the Senate. The Senate sends its budget to the House. We both reject each other's. The bill goes into what's called a conference. And then ultimately, by the end of session, and the governor's asked that its final bill be ready for approval on March 13th. So we're kind of, half time here, entering the third quarter. But we still have a lot of game to play.
Yeah, I guess the one thing everybody agrees on is nobody liked Tim Kaine's budget, did they?
That's correct.
Yeah. At this point, Delegate, the area that seems to be gathering the most amount of protest is cuts to education. Although I do note that we spend a whole lot more on education now than we did certainly 10 years ago. And even with the cuts that are being proposed, we're still spending a whole heck of a lot more than we did 10 years ago.
Well, you're right, Jimmy. And I've got seven jurisdictions in my district, so I'm very attuned to the needs of local school divisions. Folks in my neighborhood have kids in school, and we've got an 18-month-old. She's not quite school ready yet, but it's something I'm very much committed to supporting our public school system. With that being said, over the last 10 years statewide, we've seen an increase in spending for K-12 education, 60% to 70%, while the school-age population has only increased 7%. With the proposal that the governor had recommended, bear in mind that is not completely reflected in the House budget, that would have meant that we would still be 50% ahead in spending from where we were 10 years ago. So what we're trying to do is look at how can we manage through this process, through this economic downturn, and still hold harmless as much as we can while making some structural reforms. And that's not an easy task. But it's something that we're committed to doing. Part of that was the unfreezing of the LCI that Governor Kaine recommended. It was an unprecedented step in the 40 years that we've had the local composite index, which is a formula that allocates the monies that Richmond collects and sends it back to local school divisions. That's not an easy decision to make, considering that most of the region in the Richmond area does not benefit from the unfreezing. But we have to take a principled stand that's something that we have been doing for 40 years, and we need to continue to do that. And then in the House budget, we're able to reallocate the money so over the next biennium, we can hold much of the region harmless in that process.
Okay. How confident are you, Delegate Peace, that you're going to be able to come up with some sort of a compromise measure between the House and the Senate, the one that the governor will sign?
Well, there's no other option. We have to do it. And
well, that's true, but the only question is how long it takes, right?
That's true. And you know, in my brief time in 5 years, we've seen both. We've seen finishing on time. We've seen extending. But these are unprecedented times, and we need true leadership. And I think that's what you're seeing, certainly from the House side. You know, our AAA bond rating is something we brag about. It's a superlative that we care about. Our ranking nationally for several years in a row, the number one state for business, depends on us having a budget. And we're very mindful of that.
I want to ask you, too, while I have you, Delegate, did I see this correctly, that finally your 10th Amendment bill has passed the House?
Passed the House. House Joint Resolution 125 passed the House. I wouldn't say with relative ease. For whatever reason, we still have a little uphill battle to fight on it, but it did pass in a bipartisan way, 76-20. It was referred to the Senate Committee on Rules, and the Senate has the resolution now, and we'll be debating it between now and the end of session.
Well, that's progress. You couldn't even get it out of the committee before, could you?
That's correct. So, you know, I think that we see a huge momentum now in a bipartisan way, saying that, you know, Washington is going in directions that we're concerned about, and the state is standing up and sending a message, not only in a resolution form, but we've had several bills, Delegate Marshall's Health Care Freedom Act, which you know about. There was a Made in Virginia Firearms Act. We sent another measure to the Senate that says to Congress, we want you to have a balanced budget just like Virginia does. So we've had several measures that are 10th Amendment related in addition to us urging Congress to honor the 10th Amendment under the Constitution that we ratified several hundred years ago. And I might say it's somewhat ironic that we're talking about this subject today. It's George Washington's birthday.
Yeah, well, seems like a perfectly appropriate time to talk about it.
Absolutely.
Keep us posted, Delegate, on how that's doing, especially if you're running any Senate opposition, because we'll be more than glad to call them out for you.
Your help is really appreciated.
Not a problem. Good to talk to you. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jimmy.
That is Mechanicsville Republican Delegate Chris Peace.